Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 and 9 months FY24 earnings conference call of Tilaknagar Industries Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then 0 on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nikunj Jain from Orient Capital. Thank you and over to you.
Thank you, Viren. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I welcome you to the Q3 and 9 months FY24 earnings conference call of Tilaknagar Industries Limited. To discuss this quarter's business performance, we have from the management Mr. Amit Dhanukar, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Abhinav Gupta, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Amay Deshpande, President, Strategy and Corporate Development. Before we proceed with this call, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risk and uncertainty. For more details, kindly refer to the investor presentation and other filings that can be found on company's website. Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to the management for their opening comments, and then we will open the floor for Q&A. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us on our Q3 FY24 results earnings conference call. At the outset, I would like to address the recent disclosure made by the company about the income tax search. This was a routine search conducted by the department. There was no meaningful impact on business operations during the search, and since the completion of the search, we have not received any assessment or demand notice from the department. As and when any material developments take place, we will update the stock exchanges accordingly. Q3 saw another strong performance from our end across parameters. Our volumes grew 13% on a year-on-year basis in Q3 FY24 and at 22% for the 9 months of FY24, compared to the overall IMFL industry growing by around 2-3% in the 9 months of FY24. Our growth has been driven by both the millionaire brands, Mansion House Brandy and Courier Napoleon Brandy. Both the brands are helping us to consistently grow our market share, not only in the brandy category, but the overall IMFL industry. At an industry level, brandy P&A continues to be one of the fastest growing P&A categories and yet one of the lowest P&A saliencies within the respective categories, thereby providing enough headroom for continued growth. We are also seeing continued strong traction in our flavored brandy range, Flandy, which now constitutes more than 8% of our flagship brand of Mansion House Brandy in the relevant states in which Flandy has been introduced. Flandy is our answer to making brandy more fun and youthful. In addition, our latest premium offering, Mansion House Chambers, is also showing promising results in Puducherry, our first launch state for Chambers. We are looking at launching Chambers in more states over the next couple of quarters. The launch of premium products like Flandy and Chambers is enabling us to meet need gaps across price points in the brandy category. Our thrust on premiumization is truly underway, with our NSR expanding to ₹1309 per case compared to ₹1222 per case a year back. This increase in NSR is on account of improved brand and state mix as well as price increases received over the course of this financial year. On the cost front, the industry continues to reel under significant inflationary pressures, especially on the raw material side. We have seen ENA prices continually go up over the past couple of quarters, impacting profitability. Despite this, we have been able to expand our margins due to a higher share of premium brands and other cost optimization initiatives. I am also happy to share that in the month of January, we were assigned an A- stable rating from CRISIL for our bank loan facilities. This rating will potentially reduce our interest rates going forward. On the marketing front, we released the Flandy song on World Brandy Day, that is on 8 December 2023, our first large-scale brand anthem. The video and the song has received tremendous traction and is helping us in our aim to make brandy more youthful, aspirational and inclusive. I am also happy to share that we won multiple awards, including the Company of the Year Award at the prestigious Spirits Conclave and Achievers Awards 2023, which was held in December 2023. Before I hand over to my colleagues, I would like to reinforce that we truly believe that the brandy premiumization story is here to stay. We will continue to drive our strong innovation pipeline in brandy and come out with some of the best brandies and spirits that India has to offer and for the world to see. I now hand over the call to our President of Strategy and Corporate Development for a detailed financial review. Over to you, Ameya.
Thank you, boss. Welcome all to the call. As Mr. Dhanukar mentioned, our volumes grew by 13% in Q3 and 22% in the 9 months of FY24 as compared to the industry growth of around 2 to 3% in the 9 months of this year. Our net revenue increased to Rs. 377 crores for Q3 and Rs. 1035 crores for the 9 months of 24, a growth of 24% and 28% respectively on a year-on-year basis. Apologies for that, some issues with the line. So as I was saying, the P&A segment, which accounts for more than 80% of our volumes, continued to drive growth for the company. Our EBITDA increased to 51 crores and 137 crores in Q3 and 9 months of this year respectively, a growth of 27% and 46% respectively on a year-on-year basis. Despite inflationary pressures, we have been able to maintain our EBITDA margins, which stood at 13.6% for this quarter as compared to 13.4% for both Q2 of this year and Q3 of last year. The EBITDA margin for 9 months FY24 is at 13.3% as compared to 11.6% for 9 months FY23. Our gross debt has reduced to Rs. 164 crores as of December 23, a reduction of Rs. 24 crores from September 23 levels. Our net debt as of December 23 is Rs. 119 crores and we are hopeful that we close FY24 at a net debt of less than 100 crore rupees and achieve near net debt free status by March 25. To summarize, we have seen good growth in the quarters gone by and have also increased our market share, not only in brandy but overall IMFL. With a strong innovation pipeline and slew of launches over the next couple of years, we expect this trend to continue and with a specific focus on premiumization, we expect cash flows to improve further, enabling us to make more marketing investments to build our core brands as well as new ones. With that, I would now like to open the call for the Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Pankaj Kumar from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. Good morning, sir. Congrats on a decent set of numbers. Question is on the raw material prices outlook. You have stated the last two quarters you're seeing the price inflation. So how is the scenario going ahead for next two quarters? How do you see, are we seeing any signs of cooling off also?
So on the ENA front, we have experienced some inflation quarter on quarter. That is the principal raw material on which we have seen inflation. The first quarter, the ENA price was 67 rupees per liter, which then increased to 69 rupees for quarter two. And for the recently concluded quarter, it was around 72 rupees. So there has been a steady increase in the ENA cost quarter on quarter. And it's difficult for us to, you know, really predict as to how this price might move going forward. But on the rest of the fronts, I think we have seen a cooling down on the rest of the inputs.
So to add to that, Pankaj, as Mr. Dhanukar mentioned, other inputs, right? So glass, for example, had seen a slight reduction in costs in the first quarter of this financial year. While we didn't see any reductions in the second and the third quarter, we are seeing some reduction in Q4 of somewhere around 700 to 800 rupees a ton. So that should help us out a bit on the cost side as well going forward.
And on the price increases from the state, so any color on that?
So price increases, Pankaj, we had received in the, you know, the previous year. We received in the important states of Telangana. We received an increase in the canteen stores department. So I think thereafter, nothing.
Excellent. Second question is on the overall brandy segment that we have seen a decent growth in teens versus the industry growing in very low single digit. So do you see the going ahead, the brandy market will continue to maintain the growth rate or we see some slowdown also?
So I think, Pankaj, the thing is we do, firstly, when we look at brandy, let's just look at P&A, Prestige and Above, right? And that is the segment which has been outperforming the overall industry. While we do believe that driven by our own portfolio, we do expect this to outperform the industry to some extent as a overall industry, I mean, right? But obviously, I think difficult to say whether it will grow at the same 13-odd% on a year-on-year basis, right? I think we were looking at a fairly low base from a three-year perspective when we started off. This, we are looking at somewhere around, at least from our perspective as a guidance, we are looking at volume growth of anywhere between 12-15% for the coming year of FY25, and then in the lower double digits going forward.
And sir, last question is on your the new launch on MHB Chambers. So at what price point that we have launched and what are the future launch pipeline?
So we have launched this in Pondicherry for the moment. It is priced at a 50% premium to the flagship brand, which is Mansion House Brandy. So one of the slides you'll see in our earnings presentation, which kind of gives a price laddering for all the brands that we have in the state. Right. So if you use Mansion House Brandy as the base in terms of pricing, then you're looking at Flandy, which is at a 25% premium. Sorry, 20% premium, 25% premium on CNB Green and 50% premium on Chambers.
And the future launch pipeline.
Future launch pipeline, see, Chambers, obviously we are going to launch in a few more states, right, over the next couple of quarters. Beyond that, I don't want to speak too much in terms of which categories are we going to launch into, right. Loads of innovations going on in the portfolio right now, but I think closer we get to it, we'll speak about it. But Chambers will get launched in a few more states. And just to correct myself, Flandy is at a 25% premium to Mansion House Brandy and CNB Green is at a 30% premium to Mansion House Brandy.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Darshika Khemka from AV FinCorp. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. This time around, we see that the other income for the company has increased almost 8 crores in the quarter. What can we attribute this to? Is there a one-off or anything of that sort?
So it should be considered as a one-off. There were some old advances which, you know, had been provided for, which the company was pursuing vigorously over the last few quarters. So a part of that 8 crores is advances which have been returned to us, and the remaining part is, I think, other income, which is interest on our fixed deposits and mutual fund investments.
Okay. Could you help me with the breakdown of this other income into the old advances that you've received and...
Yeah. So the old advances that we've received are around 7 crores. The balance is the normal other income.
Got it. Hello. Yeah, that was it for me. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ajay Thakur from Anand Rathi Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for taking my question. So wanted to understand more on the other expenses. So if I were to look at it, it has been almost like a flattish at around 100-110 CR. So can you share some details on, you know, what is the level of, you know, a steady state kind of a run rate that we can expect for the expenses? employee expenses. It is 110 million. 100 to 110 million. Yeah.
So I think employee expenses are kind of we are at the optimal level in terms of percentage of net revenue, right? From a growth perspective, I think you should look at it at the same at a slightly lower growth than the revenue that you would be modeling. We should be looking at similar levels or slightly lower in terms of percentage of net revenue going forward as well.
And my second question, our arrangement with Pernod Ricard. So any update on that front? If we have, we understand that we have been under discussion with them.
Yes. So post the last call, there is no material development as such to update the forum, but we continue discussions and we are hopeful that the arrangement would commence shortly.
Okay. And lastly, in terms of, our foray into the northern markets or the, non-south markets, so how is that shaping up and how is, the contribution of south versus the non-south shaping up, if you can share that number for the quarter?
So it is going on expected lines, of course, as the forum will be knowing that bulk of our sales do come from south and I think there's a very small shift which is happening in terms of the saliency of East and other markets such as institutional sales. But it is in line with what our expectations are. And just to quantify in terms of how much does South contribute to our volumes, it's around 85%.
Mr. Rajan?
Miriam, we can move on to the next question in case Ajay is done.
As there is no response from the participant, we would like to take the next question. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Shivra from Retail Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Can you hear me?
Yes, Mr.
Yes,
Shivra.
We can hear you.
Please go ahead.
Yeah. Congratulations on a fine performance in Q3 as well. And it is very heartwarming to hear the aspiration of a company to produce brandies for the world, as the chairman mentioned. Manchanov is already the largest selling brandy in India, and another 9 years or so, the company would be completing 100 years. So, when do we see our company become the largest selling brandy company of the world, sir?
So, that is definitely our aspiration. I think we are already, I think Manchanov is perhaps the second largest selling brandy in the world. And the steps which we are taking in terms of laddering the portfolio at various price points and the measures which we are taking, I am sure that that will be achieved in the foreseeable future.
And just to add to that, I think from our perspective, from a strategic and vision perspective, while we would love to be the largest selling brandy in the world, I think the better way of putting it is we would like to be the most admired brandy brand in the world.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. That's awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chintan Mehta from Alloyds LLP. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, hi. Mr. Chintan.
Is my voice audible?
Yes, yes, you're audible. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. As in your opening remarks, you said that raw material prices has been one of the key, impacting, in terms of our margins are concerned. It seems that we are transiting toward to our higher teens volumes, and we are trying to get the higher auction prices. So, what we understand that in a, on a steady state basis, if my raw material prices would have been, say, neutral as at this point of time, what would have been a peak EBITDA margin per se? I'm just trying to understand that right now our EBITDA margins are close to around 15 or 14 odd percent. What could be the peak EBITDA margin if say we have a steady state raw material prices?
You see, excluding the inflation that we've seen in raw material prices, right, this would have been closer to around 15.5-16%, right? Having said that, I think, are we expecting the raw material prices to go back to the earlier base? Obviously not, right? We do expect some level of stability over there. Having said that, there are multiple things that the company itself is doing, right, which is not purely dependent upon the cost structure or the way the prices of our raw materials move. Premiumization, which leads to increase in NSR, further cost optimizations that we are undertaking internally, efficiencies that we are bringing about in cost, right, they will help us or enable us to expand our margins further from the current levels of 13.6% that we've seen in Q3 to take us to our near peak margins of around 15-15.5% over the next couple of years.
Plus, with the operating leverage kicking in, I think some of the costs, as Amay said earlier also, that employee cost as percentage of sales will not...
Right. But that's completely evaporated. The very good cause of getting into higher volumes, that should definitely bring you economies of scale, but that has completely been eaten by the raw material prices, as we speak. So even getting it more granular, the 7% ASP what we have actually achieved this particular quarter, would you understand that what could be on account of premiumization and what could be on account of the raw material price hike, if any, we have passed on? So are we kind of a situation where we can get the number wherein what percentage we're still able to pass on due to the raw material prices?
Yeah, so just to give you some kind of quantification in terms of NSR increase, right, that we saw from Q2 to Q3, over there around 2/3 of that was on account of price and brand mix, right, which also considers the price increases that we have received and all of that, and around 30% on account of the state mix that is there.
Okay. Understood. So we have not taken any price hike in terms of considering the raw material price increases. So that secular, the pass-through is not yet done. So that could...
Yes, you're right.
So in you're Q4 right. or coming quarters, you may see that even playing out well, if I'm not...
So that's a difficult one, right? Because most of the prices are frankly regulated by the corporations as such, mm-hmm. right? So thereby it is not a free pricing mechanism in every state. Having said that, we do see premiumization or other NSRs being at a healthy level. Right, so they kind of will take care of all your inflationary pressures. We do believe that we'll be able to maintain our margins, if not better it, within the next couple of quarters itself.
Okay, that's it. That's it from my side. Thanks a lot. Thanks for the clarification, and best of luck to all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gaurang Kakkad from Haitong Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So couple of questions. If we look at the 13% volume growth for the quarter, is it possible to give some color in terms of how this looks between super premium, premium and the deluxe segment that you've called out in the presentation?
So super premium is a very small part of our business, right? Even when you look at the premium side of things, right, you are looking at brands like Mansion House Brandy over there, right? So that would be the predominant that is where a majority of the growth is coming from, along with CNB. Now, CNB frankly straddles between two segments, which is the super premium and the deluxe segment, right? We are seeing similar growth on both the sides.
Okay, got it. If we look at the net sales growth, it has outpaced the gross sales growth, which indicates excise per case is coming down. Now, is this a function of state mix, product mix, or like largely what is the reason for this?
It's a function of both, actually. It's a function of this, but predominantly on account of the state mix.
Okay. And secondly, in terms of, you mentioned in the opening remarks that because of the CRISIL rating, interest cost is likely to come down. Any quantification as to how much impact this can have in FY25, the interest cost interest rate?
Though the final decision will be with the lenders, but we expect that we should be able to get a reduction of at least 200 basis points over the current rate which they are charging us. So currently Kotak is at around 13%. We expect that post the rating exercise, it should come down by at least 200 basis points.
Got it. Thanks a lot. That's it for me.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Seemer from Nijan Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity. So just want to ask you, in terms of your recent expansion in Pondicherry, how has the response been over there of Mason House changes?
So it's been 3 months since the launch. We just launched in quarter three. So the response has been positive. It's been encouraging. We are getting repeat orders. And the business currently is it's about maybe less than 5% of what Mansion House does, but which is quite good initially to start off with.
Got it. So, do you have any plans on expanding your offerings to different states as well, in the same price one?
So, yes, I think Ameya has also thrown some light in this. I think in the coming quarters, the Chambers offering, we will look at expanding to other states also, gradually.
Got it, got it. All right, so I'll follow back in the queue. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shantanu Mantri from Think Investments. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi. Hi, Amitji. Hi, Amaya. Really good numbers, and it's been a fabulous performance what we've done in the last two and a half years. So really want to congratulate the whole team.
Thank you.
I just had one question. So in a way, you know, like a year back, we had thought of, you know, investing some money in a distillery. We've kind of stayed away from that, and in a way, it's, you know, the way raw material prices have gone in terms of grain, I think, you know, it's been a right decision. But now, having said that, the grain prices seem to be, you know, peaked out, and we're expecting some cooling off there. So, and obviously now with where our balance sheet stands and how our cash flow stands, just want to understand that how are we thinking in terms of investing any money in distillery or not at this point?
So, Shantanu, I think it is a pertinent question. It's the investment decision has been on top of mind. This current financial year, we took a decision to wait. And currently also, I think we are waiting and watching. Of course, the financial position of the company is much more robust, which will allow us to make an investment decision if we so choose. But currently, it's something which remains under active consideration, but nothing has been formed up as of now.
Perfect. Perfect. Sounds good. Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Himanshu Shah from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, Himanshu.
Hi. Congratulations on good set of numbers to the entire team. A couple of questions. One is, can you just highlight what has been the CAPEX for 9 months FY24 and the outlook on CAPEX for FY24 and FY25?
So CAPEX for this year has been around 15 odd crores, right? And going forward, if you keep the distillery CAPEX aside, right? So distillery CAPEX is somewhere around 40 to 45 crore potentially, right? But that depends on when we do take a call to expand that. But keeping that aside, you're looking at a maintenance capex on a yearly basis of anywhere between 20 to 25 CR going forward as well.
Okay. And secondly, again, harping on just the raw material part, you mentioned that ENA prices are on an inflationary side. Can you just provide some outlook, like on a quarter-on-quarter basis, what would have been the inflation in Q3 or as on date, what is the inflation versus end of Q4?
So quarter one, the average ENA cost was 67 rupees per liter, which increased to 69 in quarter two. And for the recently concluded quarter three, it was 72 rupees. So it's almost, you can say, 5 rupees inflation from beginning of the year, translating to rupees 20 per case.
Okay. And is it steady as on date or it is on an inflationary trend even after Q3?
No, so even if you look at February, you're looking at around 72.5 rupees a liter. So it has increased marginally by half a rupee to a rupee per liter.
Okay. And you highlighted that there has been around 700 rupees reduction in glass bottle prices in Q4 in the ongoing quarter.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. So 700 rupees would essentially mean on a per case basis, you're looking at somewhere around 4 rupees a case impact.
Okay, fine. That's very, very helpful, Amay. That's it from my side. And all the best for future.
Thank you so much, Himanshu.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sivar from Nijan Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you for the making me ask another question. So, thank you for giving me the opportunity. Just wanted to ask you in terms of your blended capacity, can you talk about utilization across your four manufacturing units?
Yeah. So, in terms of the four units, our mother plant of Shirampur has got a utilization of somewhere around 30-odd%, 32-35%, right? The balance being, if at all, Furno does start operations again at Shirampur, we should be reaching near full capacity utilization. We also have our fully owned subsidiary in Karnataka, which is Vani, that is at 100% capacity, right? Prague, which is in AP, is again 100% capacity, and Punjab Expo, which is in the north, has got a utilization of around 20-odd%. That caters predominantly for our CSD business.
All right. Thanks a lot, sir.
Yeah.
All the best going forward.
Thank you.
Thank you. In the interest of time, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Nikunj Jain from Orient Capital for closing comments. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Yeah, I would like to thank the management for taking the time out for this conference call today. And also thanks to all the participants. If you have any queries, please feel free to contact us. We are Orient Capital Investor Relations Advisors to Tilaknagar Industries Limited. Thank you so much.
Thank you all.
On behalf of Tilaknagar Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.